It's a blessed opportunity to speak with all of you about the Blessed Mother, the power of the Rosary, and the role that she plays in our lives as Christians, as Catholic disciples of the Lord Jesus. Recently, I came across this book. It's called The Pictorial Rosary for the Family Rosary. And the reason I found it so striking is that this is the exact book that my parents used to pray the rosary with us six kids every night of the year. So when I was a child, my family prayed the rosary 365 days a year after dinner, whether we wanted to or not. And there were times we resisted, especially on a beautiful summer night. But my parents were gently insistent in this practice. And this book we utilized until it literally disintegrated. So to find it again all these years later was remarkable for me. Because when I think of the mysteries of the rosary, I think exactly of these images, because this book sat on our coffee table and we took turns turning the pages for the meditations on all the decades. So this brings back a flood of memories of my formational experience as a young Catholic. And it speaks to us of the power of the rosary. So everything about the rosary is scriptural and is gospel related. I was in Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan 4 years ago on a trip for Catholic Relief Services and also for the U.S. Bishops Conference. And I met a woman in her 90s in Kyrgyzstan who remembered the terrible day when the Soviets came in and shot her priest, burned down her church, and destroyed the Eucharist. And from that point on, it was completely illegal to practice faith or to profess any sort of Christian belief. And she remembers as a young girl being gathered in someone's house in the dark at night, and they simply prayed the rosary. And it was by means of that faithful recitation of the rosary that these persecuted Christians, members of the church, passed down the faith. That's all they had. They didn't have a Bible, they didn't have a church, they didn't have a priest, they didn't have the sacraments, but they prayed the rosary using their fingers. And when she grew older, she became the leader of that group. And she never thought that she'd live long enough to see communism defeated, for a priest to return to her village, for the church to be rebuilt, and for Mass to be celebrated. And yet she did. And she said that's what they faithfully prayed for all that time. So when we study the history of the church, and particularly those places and times of intense persecution, often it was the recitation of the rosary that kept faithful Christians going, to pass down the knowledge of the faith, to pass down the essence of the story of Christ, and to keep people linked to Jesus and to his Blessed Mother. So the power of the rosary points us to the Blessed Mother, and when we pray the rosary, we're essentially taking the key to her heart and asking her to open the storehouse of her heart. Oftentimes in the infancy narratives in the Gospels, when something profound happens between Jesus and Mary, it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart, that she treasured them in her heart. So when we pray the rosary, we're really asking Mary to open the storehouse, the treasure house of her heart, and share Jesus with us. In that sense, then, she becomes the guarantor of the gospel, that Mary contains within herself the whole dynamism, truth, and meaning of the gospel, because she bore Jesus Christ, who is, of course, the living gospel, the living word of God. And she becomes our patroness, the one who teaches us the gospel, and who through her own life of faith and discipleship, of maternity, of suffering at the foot of the cross, and experiencing the Assumption, incarnation, in all of that, she reveals to us the effect, the grace, the redemption offered to us through faith in her Son. That what happened to her will happen to us. We too will be led to the cross. We too will experience the resurrection. That we too will know the glory of heaven if we are faithful to the Lord. So to ponder the Blessed Virgin Mary and to see her both as mother and as disciple, to see her as the one who contains within her treasured heart the fullness of the good news. Another title of Mary is Ark of the Covenant. And we know from the Old Testament that The Ark of the Covenant in the original temple contained three things: the tablets with the Ten Commandments written on them, which Moses received in Mount Sinai, the staff of Aaron that he used in front of Pharaoh for one of the ten plagues, and thirdly, a bowl of manna, the mysterious bread that fed the Israelites through their sojourn in the desert. When the temple was destroyed by the invasion of the Babylonians, the Ark of the Covenant was hidden in a cave somewhere outside of Jerusalem. This is mentioned in the prophet Jeremiah. And of course, it was lost to us. We don't know where it is. But Jeremiah said that the Ark would return, the Ark of the Covenant would be restored at the time of the advent of the Messiah, so that when the Messiah returned, a sign of that would be the Ark of the Covenant would be discovered, restored, and brought into its proper place. In that theological sense, then, we can understand how the Blessed Virgin is the Ark of the Covenant, because it is her appearance that signals the advent of the Messiah. She, as Ark of the Covenant, contains no longer a stone tablet or manna or a wooden staff, but rather the living Word of God. So she contains within herself of the fullness of God and gives birth to that Word. We too are called to give birth to that Word through lives of faith, discipleship, and service. So in all of that, it gives us great incentive to pray the daily rosary, for it is in the rosary that the truths of the gospel will be intensified within us, and that we will come to learn the fullness of Jesus. Those are just some thoughts I have as I rediscovered this beautiful book. And a fitting fact about this book, which I didn't know at the time. So I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I never knew that it was published in 1951, a year before my parents got married. It was published in Madison, where I'm currently bishop. And on the inside cover is a letter from the Bishop of Madison at the time, Bishop O'Connor, the first bishop. So all that for me is just a fitting way to say, Blessed Mother and the Rosary have always been a guiding force in my life to keep me close to Jesus. May that be said of all of us.